2 Corinthians chapter 1. Do we believe that God is sovereign? I jotted down some of these questions, and think about this. Really think about this. Do we believe that everything with God is ordered and sure? I mean ordered and sure. Do we truly believe that not one purpose of God will fail? I mean not one. Do we honestly believe, I just prayed for the people in this town. Do we honestly believe that God has an elect people? Do we believe that? Do we believe that all that the Father has given Him shall come to Him? Shall. Do we believe honestly that He will lose nothing? Not one soul that He came to save will be lost. Then, should we witness to people? Should we witness to people? Does it matter whether or not we witness the gospel to people? How much effort should we put into this? How important should it be? How much, you know what I'm saying? How urgent should this be? Does it make any difference whether or not we pray for people? Does it make any difference? What is the truth of these things concerning the salvation of God's people when it comes to men and women being saved? Considering God's sovereignty, we believe in God's sovereignty, don't we? Considering His certainty in all things, the certainty of His election, and the certainty of His salvation, does it matter what a person does in this life? Does it matter? Does it matter whether a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ or not? Does it matter whether a person perseveres to the end? Do these things matter? And ultimately, this is the question. When is a person saved? I mean saved. I mean that's it done. Saved. Through the scriptures here, I want to answer that question first, and then I want to answer all these other questions that we're asking here. Here in 2 Corinthians 1, Paul was talking about some of the sufferings that he endured because he preached salvation through the will and the work and the blood of Christ alone. In verse 9, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, because we had the sentence of death in ourselves." We had the answer of death. We were being beaten or whatever was happening to him, and we resolved at that moment in time that we're about to die. And he said in the middle of verse 9, "This happened that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." And then he said in verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." God is the one who delivers us out of all our troubles and our trials. We can look back and say he has not failed us once. Never has he failed us. And he never will. In the same way that this verse is telling us about our temporary deliverances, it's also telling us about our eternal deliverance. This eternal salvation that we have. This verse is the truth of every child of God's salvation. This is the truth. All right. Now, when is and how is a person saved? A child of God saved. Verse 10 says, who delivered us from so great a death? That word delivered is past tense. Past tense. Who delivered us? Look with me at John 19. John 19, verse 30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. What was he talking about? The salvation of his people. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Brother Donnie this weekend quoted Scott Richardson. And this just struck me. This is just so awesome. Let me see if I can quote it right. He said, men die and then endure God's judgment. He said, Christ endured God's judgment and then died. He said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And it is. It's finished. It's finished. It is period, done, close the Bible, let's go home, finished. It's finished. Salvation is done. What about all of those people who died before our Lord came? Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, all those men who died before our Lord came. Did they leave this earth without salvation? Did they leave not having been delivered? If that's when he came, if he died on that cross to deliver us from our sins, did they leave this earth not having been delivered? Look with me at Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And this is talking about the adversary. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, everything that God purposes to do is immediately finished in his will because he does not change. He does not change. You think about our thoughts and ideas. You look around and you say, well, I think I'll do that. Don't take your money to the bank yet. We'll change our minds. Once God purposes something in his heart, it is completely finished. He does not change. All of his purposes were made before the foundation of the world. Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, could say, he delivered us. That lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. It's over. It's done. All right, now look with me back in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 10 says, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. All right, that's present tense. Delivered is past. Doth deliver is present. Why would we say God saved us? Period. God chose a people, and the Lamb of God was slain for only those people before the foundation of the world. And it's over, and it's done, and it's finished. And then right after that, say, God saves us today. Why would we stand up and cry, today is the day of salvation? Why would we do that? You know why? God said so. Had God not said that, we would not preach it. We would not believe it. I would not believe that had God not said it. Isn't that right? I'm convinced it's finished. I am convinced it was all finished from the foundation of the world. I would not stand up and tell men with every fiber of urgency that I have, you bow to Christ today. I wouldn't do it. God said it, and we believe God. That's becoming more in the front of my mind. I'm becoming more aware of that. If He says it, we believe God. That's it. Look with me at 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, verse 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Unto salvation. Not saved, to saved. Look with me at Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The preaching of the gospel of Christ, the preaching of the cross, is the power of God, he said, unto salvation. That's the power of God to salvation. You can turn or listen. This is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. It says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Do we believe that? It has pleased God to use the means, and this is just amazing to me. It has pleased God to use the means of a man standing up and declaring that salvation is finished, over, done, complete. You have no say in the matter. That's it. The Lord uses that message to save people. Is that a contradiction? Nope. They're converted to salvation through the means of declaring a finished gospel. Not one soul has ever been saved through a message of works. Not one soul through a message of works. A message of an unfinished salvation until you step up to the plate and finish the deal. Not one soul. God said, you go declare it is finished. And that declaration will call dead men to life, darkness to light, lost to found, ignorant, completely ignorant to a knowledge of the true and living God. You just go declare that. What if God has an elect soul that never hears the preaching of the gospel? That's an impossibility. That is an impossibility. If this is the means that God chose for every soul that has ears to hear. Didn't he keep saying that? He that hath ears to hear. If a person has that ability. If a person's deaf, well, the Lord has another means for that. He's not going to use these vocal cords for that person. If a person has a mental problem, the Lord has his own means for that. But if a man has ears to hear, and if God has said this is his means to call out his sheep, then he will predestinate that sinner to cross the path of the gospel. And that sinner's going to hear. That sinner's going to believe. Death to life. God is orchestrating every bit of this. And this is, again, we say this, we've said this a little bit recently, but this is a prime example of the fact that we are not clinging to a doctrine. Do we have a doctrine? Absolutely we do. Absolutely we do. But we are not clinging to and following a doctrine. We are clinging to the word of a person. The word of this person determines the lines of our doctrine. When do we step over the lines of our doctrine? When we leave what the person said. That's the only time we step over the lines of our doctrine. We don't throw out something because it does not fit within the lines of our doctrine. No, well, we're just going to have to throw that out. It just doesn't, that doesn't go along with this point. The word of Christ determines our doctrine. That's all there is to it. The word of Christ determines our doctrine. We just believe God. This is what he said. He said he saved every single one of his people before the foundation of the world. Every one of them. And he said he saves every single one of his people through the preaching of the gospel. What do we say to that? Amen. So be it. I wholeheartedly agree. That's what amen means. Go with me back to 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 10 says, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Do you know what believers find themselves crying out to God all the time? I mean, all the time. Lord, save us. Save us. Forgive us. Have mercy on us. Deliver us. Well, hasn't he already saved us? Yes. If he has saved us, none of us in here are going to go, well, I'm not sure. Yes. No doubt about it. Weren't we forgiven in him? Yes. When God killed Christ, wasn't that him having mercy on us and delivering us? Yes. Hasn't he opened our eyes to all this through the preaching of the gospel? Yes. Hasn't he given us faith to believe it? Do we doubt his word? No. Yes, we believe it. Well, then why are we still begging for a salvation to come? Why are we begging in sincerity from the depths of our soul for a salvation to come? Isn't it ordered and sure? Yes. Didn't he say he'd lose none? Yes. Then what's the urgency? Really? What is the urgency? Why feel a need to fight a good fight or press toward a mark or take it by force? Why feel that need? It's because God said in Romans 13. Let me show it to you. Look with me at Romans 13. This is what God said to his children. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We believe. Believers are saved people. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Believers are saved people. We are believers in a finished work that Christ accomplished. We believe that. To every single soul that He saves through this knowledge of the preaching of the gospel, this knowledge of this finished salvation, to every single one, He says to that soul, watch, look, be ready, I'm coming. Verse 12, He said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Every single child of God receives a heart to hear His voice and obey His word. And it's fervent to them. We say with David, I will not be satisfied until I awake with your likeness. I just can't. I cannot stop begging until you absolutely rid me of this body of death. I just can't. When it comes to the when, W-H-E-N, when it comes to the win of our eternal salvation, I'm telling you, it's done. It is right now being done. And if we will hang in there, real soon it's going to be done. It's almost done. All right, now go back to our text. The very quick answer to these other questions that we began with. Is God sovereign? Absolutely. Is everything ordered and sure? Absolutely. Will any of God's purposes fail? Absolutely not. Does God have an elect people? Absolutely. Will every single one of them come to Him? Absolutely. Every single one. Will He lose any of them? Absolutely not. Should we witness to people? Absolutely. Absolutely. Our Lord said, you go tell men and women how great things the Lord has done for you. Does it matter whether or not we preach the gospel? Absolutely. God says it's His powerful means of saving His people, calling out His sheep. Does it matter whether we pray for each other or not? Look right here at verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf, by this means of prayer. God lays it on the heart. There may be a person out in this community that God has purposed from the foundation of the world to save. Christ died for that person from the foundation of the world. Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And Christ is going to bring them to a knowledge of Himself today. And God may lay it on our hearts to beg Him for that person. Please save that person. God is the doer of every bit of it. He gets the glory for every bit of it. But all of these things are His means. And if there is any spark in our heart to pray for another sinner, pray for that sinner. Pray for that sinner. It's the means God has chosen to use. Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for me. I'm begging you, pray for me. Pray for me. I pray for you, and I beg the Lord to make me more so. Pray for you. James said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Scripture says the Lord turned the captivity of Job when He prayed for His friends. Let's pray for every soul that we know that is lost. Let's pray for them. Pray for the lost. Must a person believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in this lifetime? Absolutely. Absolutely. He that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. Do we see the importance of absolutely resting in and running with this gospel? If the Lord is willing, the Lord could bring many souls to Himself here. He could bring many souls. And as dear people come into this room, the first thing that's going to happen to them is God's going to strike fear into them. And the second thing that's going to happen to them is God's going to speak peace to them. And the third thing that's going to happen is they're going to rest. And they're going to give up on all their religious works, and they're going to stop, and they're just going to rest. And the fourth thing that's going to happen to them is God is going to teach them, don't get too comfortable in the pew. You start running with this message. You take this message seriously. You make this an urgent thing. You don't look at salvation like people do in religion as a has-been thing. Yeah, I'm saved. I got saved as a child. Have you been back to worship since? No, but this thing is urgent. This thing is now. This thing is pressing. And let's pray that the Lord would open our eyes and show us these things and ground us and make us firm believers, stable, grounded believers for ourselves, for the new believers He might bring, for God's glory. And, you know, this gospel, it says, don't move a muscle. When it comes to salvation, don't move a muscle. Now run. He told His disciples, you go preach the gospel unto all the world. And you go tell them, don't move a muscle. Now, does it matter? I'm done. Does it matter what a person does in this life? We claim to be believers. All right, now, we say salvation's of the Lord. Doesn't have anything to do with me. Does it matter what a person does in this life? Does it matter whether or not a person perseveres to the end? The answer is absolutely. I'll close with Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 6. But Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Is He saying that will be the cause of our eternal salvation? No. He's saying that will be the evidence of our eternal salvation. It is important to me that God saves me. It's important to me that God keeps me. It's important to me that He gets all the glory for it. And it's important to me that I press toward that end. It's very important. I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff. Here's the final word I had. Let's all rest in Christ and let's all press toward Him at the same time. All right, you're dismissed.